Shall we read together, please, from the book of Exodus and chapter 33. The book of Exodus and chapter 33. And verse 18. And he, that is Moses, said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. Now that's all we shall read just now from the Scriptures of Truth. Our first speaker has illustrated an important point, that many of us have declining vision. As I look round this company this afternoon, many of you are like the preacher and you need spectacles. For your vision is not what it once was. It is declining. With old age, glaucoma, cataracts, many other conditions, we need these things because of declining vision. But I want to make something very, very clear and plain. Your spiritual condition need not correspond to your physical condition. You may be on the stick, but your feet are on the rock. You may need the hearing aid, but every day you hear the voice of God. You may need to wear spectacles, but by God's grace, you can have spiritual vision. Like Gaius, of course, as John wrote concerning Gaius, his desire was that he would prosper and be in health, even as his soul prospereth. So he was growing older. He perhaps was not as well as he used to be, but his spiritual health was very good indeed. Now, Isaac, a man with dim vision and poor perception. Eli, overweight, dim vision, a poor sense of judgment, even upon his own boys, who were wicked boys. How would you come to Caleb, age 85, just as strong, with clear vision? Come to Moses, 120, and his vision was not dim. So dear child of God, even though you might be older, and you need spectacles, you should be able to have sharp spiritual vision. What was Moses' desire here? He says, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. What is the background to Exodus 33? Moses had been called to the mountain. He was there 40 days and 40 nights. And we think of what the experience up there on the mountaintop receiving the tables of the law. We think of the thunderings, what he heard. We think of the lightnings, what he saw. We think of the cloud. We think of the quake. The earth was quaking. The smoke, the fire. What an awesome experience on the top of the mountain. The people were down below. And they said to themselves, he's away. Why has he not come back? And you know what they started to do? They fell into gross idolatry in the absence of their leader. Is it not a little lesson to us? Our Lord is not here. He has risen. He has ascended. He has promised to come back. But we should be careful how we live in his absence. Because he could come back at any moment. He could come back today. And so, Moses comes down, and what does he see? They're dancing. There's a golden calf. He learns that his helper Aaron has been involved in it, and he is heartbroken. Not only does he break the tablets of the law, but he breaks his heart because of the declension and departure in just such a very, very short time. I think the servant of God, Moses, needed encouragement. And God was going to provide that encouragement. We didn't read it, but in this lovely chapter, chapter 33, he says there in verse 13, "Now, therefore, I pray thee, if I have found grace on thy sight, show me now thy way." And then the verse we read was this, "I beseech thee, show me thy glory." God was going to encourage his servant. He was going to get a vision of the glory of God. And we need that today. We can go through the motions, but we need for ourselves to have a vision of the glory of our God in our own personal lives. And it will change us. It will lift us up. It will encourage us. Show me thy glory. The Bible says that when Moses went up, the cloud covered the mountain, and the glory of God abode. And the sight of the glory was like devouring fire. But now he's needing encouragement because he's heartbroken. And what's going to encourage him? A vision of the glory of God. That's what's going to do it. Have you ever asked yourself, what is glory? How would you define it? I'm going to try to give you a definition, and like many short definitions, it will be very inadequate indeed. But can I suggest to you, glory is the manifestation of the divine presence and divine excellence. That's what glory is. The manifestation of the divine presence and the divine excellence. God's presence. God's greatness. That's what glory is. When you read of God's glory and God's presence, you often read of the cloud. Wonder why that is. Is it not because of the blinding presence of the glory of God? A man could not look upon it and live. And God in his grace, he sends a cloud so that men can view it. In this case, in chapter 33, we did not read it. Moses says, "Show me thy glory." God says, "I will make all my goodness pass before thee." Verse 20, "But you can't see my face. No man shall see me and live. But I'm going to help you. I'm going to put you in the cleft of the rock. I'm going to cover you with my hand. And I'm going to pass, and you're going to see my backward parts. Just a little glimpse of the glory of God." Now, if the Lord helps me just for the next few minutes, I'm going to try and give you a little glimpse, just a little glimpse of the glory of God. How can we see God's glory? Let me suggest, first of all, that you can go out at night and you can look heavenward. Don't forget that now. To go out there on a dark night and look up at what God has made. God's wonderful creation. The psalmist could say, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork." So when you look up there, God has made it all. You boys and girls at school and at college, you young folk, God has made it all. It started somewhere. It started with God. He made the stars also, just as if it's a little extra added in there. He made the stars also. What a wonderful God of majestic power, omnipotent, omnipotent. Isaiah 6, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Just you open your eyes and you look and you will see that our God is a God of glory. When we use the telescope, you know, there is a telescope going around this earth. It's called the Hubble telescope. And what they did was they chose a very dark, empty part of the sky and they focused that Hubble telescope on that empty, dark part of the sky. 800 exposures, counting day by day, over 11 days of exposure, and looking into that dark, empty part. You know what they discovered? 10,000 galaxies in the dark and empty part. In my National Geographic magazine some years ago, they had a photograph. Of course, these people don't believe in the God who made it all. But underneath the photograph of all of these galaxies, in that dark part of the sky, they had written this caption, "Worlds without end." Don't forget, we have a glorious God who made it all. O Lord my God, when I, an awesome wonder, consider all the works thy hands have made. I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder. Thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee, how great thou art. You can see his glory, a little glimpse of divine glory in creation. Think with me now for a moment or two of his glory in Revelation. God is a God who moves out towards mankind. He's not just a distant God of the universe. He has drawn close. His delights are with the sons of men. He's a God who communicates, "Where art thou?" when the man sinned. God was after him because God loved him. As God loves you, God cared for him. God sought for him. God called him. If there is someone here today who doesn't know the Savior, God seeks you. God calls. His heart goes after the sinner. That's the God we know. But there in the wilderness, he revealed himself to his people. Yes, indeed. The enemy was coming behind them. And there was a cloud that guided the people. Do you remember the pillar of cloud by day, the pillar of fire by night? Here was a manifestation of the divine presence in the cloud. A divine excellence. Something very interesting happened. The cloud would always lead them. It would always go before them. But in Exodus 14, it does something wonderful. It moves behind them to shield them from the enemy. It was darkness to the enemy. It was bright light to the people. God was moving in defense of his people. They had a vision of his glory day by day in that guiding cloud. You think of the tabernacle. The high priest on the Day of Atonement, that has already been referred to. I don't think he went once, nor even twice, at least three times. First of all, with the incense, his hands full of sweet incense. Without that incense, he would surely die. Why the incense? I believe to add to the cloud. He was in the divine presence, what is sometimes called the Shekinah glory in the Holy of Holies. And then he went with the blood for his own sins, and then he went with the blood for the sins of the people. And in the tabernacle, the glory of the Lord dwelt there, the Shekinah glory. In the temple, you remember when it was inaugurated, the glory filled the temple. Wouldn't it be wonderful if in the assembly, God's glory was manifest and people could write, "Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there. The Lord is there." Because of glory. And so he manifested himself. He revealed himself to his people in the glory cloud that led them, that defended them, but also in blessing and judgment. You can't fool around with God. You can't play act. You can't act the hypocrite. Well, you can, but you risk.
You risk God coming in judgment because he loves you. You think of Nadab and Abihu and their sin of offering strange fire. And God says, I will be sanctified, I will be glorified. They were struck down with the fire from God's presence because of their carelessness and sinfulness. God is a God of glory. He has revealed himself to mankind in that way. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another. His glory in creation, his glory in revelation to his people upon earth, his earthly people Israel. But best of all, come into the New Testament. Something happens. God was manifest in flesh. If you want to learn most about the glory of God, look at the Lord Jesus Christ. He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. The Word was made flesh and tabernacled amongst us, and we beheld his glory. We saw it. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. That's not 50% grace and 50% truth. That's 100% of each, full of grace and truth. At his birth there was glory, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. The glory of the Lord shone round about, and they were sore afraid. He had come. We think of the glory of his life, the beginning of miracles which Jesus did and manifested forth his glory. They saw his glory. Oh yes, in a sense he veiled his official glory. He became obedient and he took the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men. He humbled himself. He came down, 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 down. But oh, you couldn't hide that glory, could you? Our blessed Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Son of God, his glory shone out. It was there to be seen and to be displayed. Hebrews 1, of course, reminds us of the greatness of our Lord Jesus Christ, being the brightness of his glory. That's the essence. The express image of his person. That's the glory in its entirety. You see, when you speak of light, you can't contain light. You're speaking of the essential nature of light. But when you speak of the image, you've got it all. You've got the reproduction. One stamp, one image. He's both the essence and entirety. It's all glory. You remember on the mountain? There was a cloud again. They saw his glory. Mount of Transfiguration. His glory from start to finish. But wait a minute. If glory is light, what about Calvary? Where was the light there? Darkness. Darkness. For 3 hours, there was darkness. Loneliness. Pain. Shame. Paul says, you crucified the Lord of glory. You gave him a cross. Thank God he wore the darkness. The one who was the light of the world hung in darkness. The one who offered the water of life said, I thirst. The one who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He died at Calvary. Thank God for Christ. Thank God. Thank God. But Calvary. When we think of him in his death, when we think of him there in the darkness, I'm glad I can say I was a guilty sinner. I can say that. But Jesus died for me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He is the way to the Father. And he shows forth the Father's glory. But we thank God for Calvary. The resurrection, the ascension, the exaltation. He was received up, not into glory, but in glory. That's the manner of it. And that's where he is today. One day he's coming back as Son of Man in the clouds of heaven with power and glory to sit upon his throne. And the cry will go out, lift up your heads, O ye gates, be lifted up, ye everlasting doors. Why? For the King of glory shall come in. There is a gate in Jerusalem called the Golden Gate. It is blocked, it is bricked up, it has never been opened for many, many, many years. When General Allenby arrived in conquest and victory, he got off his horse. He wouldn't ride into Jerusalem on the horse. He says, that's reserved for another one who shall come. And it's the one who will come back as a king of glory. Thank God for his glory seen in Christ. Oh, dear child of God today, look up. See the glory in creation. Read your Bible. See the glory in God's dealings with mankind in Revelation. But principally, you get to know Christ and view him. And it's glory from beginning to end. The manifestation of the divine presence in Christ and the manifestation of divine excellence. Very briefly now. I've given you a definition of glory. It was totally inadequate. There's another idea behind glory. It's something that can be given. It can be given. 10 lepers. Healed. The scripture says, only one returned. To do what? To give glory. To him. The one who had healed them. In service, do all to the glory of our Lord Jesus. Glory can be given. In your life, you can give glory. In your service, day by day, not just on the Lord's Day, but Monday to Saturday, and the Lord's Day as well, you can give him glory. The way you live, glory given. How you address him, and what you have to say to him, in your prayers, day by day, give him glory. For glory is his due. Glory can be given as well as seen. Glory can be displayed in the believer's life. 2 Corinthians 3, as we gaze upon him day by day, as we draw near to him, we are changed from glory into glory. It can be glory for us as well, as we display the attributes of Christ. Do you know what the high water mark of Christianity really is? This is what it is. Likeness to God's own Son. Likeness to Christ. Likeness to him. Glory can also be shared. One day our bodies are going to be changed. They're sown in dishonor when we die, when we go into the grave. Paul says they're raised in glory. One day he's going to take us up and take us in, and we're going to be with him, and we're going to see him, and we're going to be like him. For we shall see him as he is. We can be sharers in that glory. Peter writes, the partakers of the glory that shall be revealed. To the elders, he says, you will receive a crown of glory. For the shepherds of the flock this afternoon, that's a great word of encouragement, isn't it? There's glory for you too. Glory that is to be shared for those who are faithful in shepherd care for the people of God. Glory seen. Creation. In the Word. The revelation of God's word concerning his people. principally in the lovely life of the Lord Jesus Christ. Glory given, our praise.
Glory displayed, Christ's likeness in my life.
Glory shared. That's a coming day, and we shall be partakers of that glory. It shall be revealed. Moses said, show me thy glory. Show me thy face. One transient gleam of loveliness divine, and I shall never think or dream of other love save thine. All lesser light will darken quite. All lower glories wane. The beautiful of earth will scarce seem beautiful again. Show me. May the Lord bless his word.